Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis. Welcome back to Forward Marketing Podcast. That's the number four, RD Marketing Podcast. And I am again your host, Joshua Jarvis, looking forward to today's episode and really covering how to select a good CRM. This actually came from one of you guys had submitted it. And just in the talks with some business owners over the years, as well as this email that I got, that it's great to generate leads, but if you don't know what to do with them, then what's the point? I mean, how do you measure success of a marketing campaign, for instance, if you don't have a way to track it? And so that's where this episode's come from. Before I get into that, I did get another email from a gentleman that said something like he didn't understand what I was trying to do. And I really appreciate it when I get emails like that, because it tells me that I may not be very clear about what my goal is. My goal is pretty straightforward. It's to grow your business. And so I try to cover topics that, if as you listen to this, that it would help you grow your business. Am I selling something? Am I the best salesperson on the planet? No, because I'm not selling anything in these podcasts. I'm trying to educate and grow your business. That's what I'm passionate about. Why would I do this? Well, maybe it builds credibility. Maybe it causes you to want to find out more about me and potentially hire me for your company or something like that. That may be the sort of ulterior motive, if you will. But my goal from getting into this business from the beginning was to help you grow your business. And more I talk to small business owners, everything from real estate agents, insurance agents, particularly a lot of the ones that I talk to are in the service industry, they don't have systems in place. And so that's what these podcasts are about, is teaching you techniques that you can use to generate leads, but in a systematic way, so that way you can actually repeat it. So it's not enough to say, hey, I run Facebook ads and generate leads. It's, you know, what's the process? And so that's really the point of the podcast. And today is no different. And like I said, I've had several clients where they would hire me to generate leads, and then I would generate leads. And so they've got this, you know, flow of leads coming in, and they don't have anything to sort of catch the leads or deal with the leads. And, you know, it's one of those sayings that common sense is not common. And that's absolutely true in this case. You would think that everyone would have some sort of database where their customers are. And sometimes they do. They have, I know a lot of insurance agents, for instance, have, you know, proprietary software that their company, parent company, gives them. Or I have an accountant that has the same thing, where it's like, well, I've entered their information into this database, but they don't treat it like a CRM. And really, a CRM in this conversation is more of a client relationship manager, and that's really what you want to use it for. So, but how do you select one, especially if you're a brand new business, or how do you choose one if you're unhappy with the one you have? So first, we need to back up real quick and realize that your database of customers and clients is your business. If you remember back, I don't know, 6-7 episodes ago, I talked about a future-proof marketing plan and how at the end of that episode, I sort of covered how to think about your business as a membership site. And you think about yourself as a Netflix or a Sam's Club or Costco or whatever. And although your clients may not necessarily be paying you a monthly subscription fee, although that's certainly something that you could consider, although they may not be doing that, their business with you, like, so for instance, my background's in real estate, so I may only help someone once every 7 to 10 years, but I get a significant income from that one transaction. So in essence, I could say, well, let me just average out. Let's say they bought an average size house of, say, $250 in Atlanta, and it was a 3% commission, we'll just say, and it was a $7,500 gross revenue generated from that sale. So I could take that $7,500 and divide it by 10, so that's $750, and I could divide that again by 12 and figure out this is what it costs per month. This is what I'm getting, sort of generating from this client per month. If I wanted to do it that way, if I really wanted to understand sort of membership marketing, I could do that. I think it's actually a really, really good idea, because it's eye-opening if you, like one year I sold 105 homes, if I was to take all of those clients and really average it out over a monthly basis and sort of say, hey, here's what the projected time frame of them to sell is. Again, I really understand why I need to be connecting with them on a monthly basis and really stay on top of that relationship. The other reason why I mentioned the membership marketing conversation in the previous episode is also because it makes your business sellable. So one of the purposes of getting all of your clients inside of a CRM is to make the business something that you could actually sell. Now, I know a lot of you are shocked that you would ever I would never sell my business. I'm going to work. At some point, don't want to like really just shatter your dreams and hopes, but at some point we all die. And so even if you're going to give the business to somebody else, you really need to have some sort of container for all the clients that you have. And that's what a CRM is. So if you have a CRM, I do apologize. If you're on top of your CRM, I do apologize for this episode. Then you could skip to the next one, or you can go back and re-listen, or have your week off this week. But if you at all want to learn sort of what should you be looking for in a CRM, particularly in 2018, then listen on. So when I looked at CRMs, and I have tried everything. I'll be honest with you. I am a CRM junkie. I love to get software and learn about it. I've downloaded so many different things, whether it's graphic stuff or CRMs or any new piece of software. I am all over it. I love learning how it works. I love trying to figure out new ways to use it. One of my favorite things is figuring out, can I make it work with Zapier, especially even if it doesn't have a natural API connection. And so I've done a lot of sort of in-person research with CRMs. I've used, you name a CRM, and I've used it specifically for real estate. I've used pretty much every one there is for real estate, but I've also used a bunch of other ones for internet marketing purposes, for other businesses. I'm also using just some, like I used a CRM called Base one time to help filter out short sales. So we took the short sale files that we were working, which was a niche inside of real estate. And so we took this niche of our business and put it on a completely different CRM because the processes were a little different. And I like the way that it sort of visualized the funnel for our team. So as we get into this, just understand that this is where this is coming from. If you are a Salesforce user or Infusionsoft user, this probably is an episode that you're going to be, you might learn a few things, but you know, you're already at the top of the game as far as the most, you know, sort of robust type CRM. So the first thing I'm looking for, particularly as a small business, is actually speed. So this is where maybe using something like your Outlook or Google Contacts might actually serve as a good CRM because it's relatively fast and the utility is really, really high because you're using it every day. And so it's very easy to keep updates with your contacts. The problem is there's not a lot of functionality behind it, but the instance of speed. Now, why do I want speed? Well, one, speed is important for a CRM because of it's more of a user interface sort of thing. How many, you know, it's like that, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? It's how many clicks does it take to get something done? And then what happens to the interface? And now this may sound really nerdy and geeky, but just track with me. If you're clicking on something and the pages have to reload, you're wasting several seconds, right? And we're in an instant gratification society right now. And so, you know, this should be a shock that everything, speed matters pretty much the most. And so for me, my first interaction with a CRM is how fast is it? Can I get the things done I want to get done in a timely manner? And it's not just me because maybe I have a specific personality type. It's also, think about speed from a standpoint of your employees. If your employees are interacting with the software and it's slow, what are they likely to do? They're likely to go and seek a distraction while it loads. They could be opening up Facebook. If you've got some sort of protection on your internet at the office where they can't go and on the social media, then they're going to be on their phone, whether it's playing Angry Birds or whatever it is. There's a distraction opportunity there, and so speed is a great eliminator of that. And also, you know, how quickly, like for instance, if you're a salesperson, how quickly can you go from contact to contact to contact if you're making a lot of outbound sales calls? So that's why speed is really important. And the other thing it does is that one of the biggest things with CRMs is sort of the portability of your business. And so let's say you wanted to, you don't want to have to pick a CRM every year. All right, it takes a lot of effort to pick and switch CRMs. And so if you pick one that's super fast, and as you understand the company values and that's maybe speed is really important to them, then that's going to be really a big deal. So one of the fastest ones that we use in real estate, so this is a real estate specific one. It was called Follow Up Boss, and it's the fastest one that I've ever used as far as what it needs to do. Does it have a lot of functionality? Not really, but you know, can you record notes? Can you set appointments? Can you move contacts down records as far as, you know, what you're doing? Yes. And the thing is that when I compare something like Follow Up Boss, and there's probably another one for your industry that's very similar, built the same way, that it's about the speed. HiRise, all of their products, Backpack, HiRise, all those were really, really very fast. So I like those as well if you're not in real estate. But those are, again, as you're testing it out, and my message to you throughout this whole thing is the only way to test these is to take different scenarios that you run into. So like for a real estate agent, they would actually take a new lead all the way through the process, pretend like they're talking to the client, and take every single scenario and run it through that CRM before they move their entire database over. And so it's really, really important. One of the CRMs that I used was called Contactually, and it has this great functionality where it sort of helps you remember to stay on top of people and or stay in contact with people. And but the problem was is as you started to add layers to it as far as the scenarios that you're using, it became kind of slow. So in the beginning, it was fast and had this great functionality. But in the end, especially once you added all of your LinkedIn contacts, it slowed down. It wasn't built, in my opinion, when I tested it, which was several months ago, it just wasn't built for a very large database, which you know you can have very easily if you import, you know, all your contacts from, say, LinkedIn or from Facebook. So it wasn't built for that. But if you just had your sort of 100 to 200 people that you wanted to stay in touch with, Contactually, I thought was great for that because it wasn't sort of bogged down with those details. So speed is really the first thing I'm going to look at. No matter what the business type is, how quickly can I get to the contacts? How quickly am I going to do all the tasks that I do? And really, that's probably the first step. It's not so much looking at speed, but really before you decide to switch a CRM or before you decide to move forward with a CRM, it's useful to have a list of all the different tasks that you currently do now. And I would write down the offline tasks. I'd write down the online tasks. So things that you don't use a CRM for now and things that you do use a CRM for now. And what are you currently using? So does it send email for you, for instance? Is that a feature that you need because you're sending email out of Gmail? And if you've got 10 team members that are sending email out of Gmail, there's no way to actually track what's going on. So have that list and then look at speed. The other thing, most of you guys are going to want to know what the price is. So Infusionsoft's a popular CRM automation tool, and it's pretty expensive for most small business owners. It's probably not going to be your first CRM. And so what you're going to be tasked with is that if your goal was automation, is you're going to be sort of bolting together or duct taping together a bunch of different tools. So you need a base CRM. And you want to look at something that can grow as you grow. So that's one of the reasons why I don't like MailChimp a whole lot, is that, yes, it's free, but as you scale your business, especially if you're going to scale it into the thousands of customers, then you know it doesn't make a lot of sense because it's really costly. But it is super easy to use, and it is, like I said, super cost effective if you have a very small business. But MailChimp is not a CRM. It's simply an email tool. So, all right, so price is something else to consider. The other thing is the feature set. And that's really the most important thing, I think, outside of speed. I think a good CRM is worth a lot of money if it does things and helps you cut time or maybe takes a task away that you were hiring someone to do manually. So does right now, my thing is, so when I'm consulting with businesses or in my own business, I wanted to make sure that it did email. Yes, there are really, really great tools out there for email. And yes, you can make a great case for a CRM that doesn't do email sort of in-house in the application, but actually connects to another one via an API, and that does it. So like SendGrid, Mailjet, those other sort of mail email-specific shops can do that. They can run campaigns and newsletters and all of that, and you could send that to them so that your CRM isn't doing the email. Personally, I like having the email in the CRM because it creates notes, it creates things that I can look back. I can know if a contact or a client has been contacted. I can see the emails. And sometimes the CRMs actually show you the actual email that was sent along with the attachments, and it just gives you great oversight, especially if someone goes on vacation and you've got to pick up the ball with the customer. It's really great to know what they've been getting. So email. Another one is text. Can it text for me? Particularly if you're in sales or if you're using the CRM in a sort of a sales function, text is huge because you can get to someone a lot quicker via text sometimes than you can via just calling them or emailing them. And I still believe in the phone call. I still think that's so far more effective than just texting. And I know there's people out there who say, no, text is it. But the reality of it is, if I call you, text you an email, you call you, text you an email, at some point you're going to probably respond, because you're going to know that I'm not a robot. If I only text you, it kind of could come off as a robot. So anyway, text is important. I would say that there need to have some plans. And what I'm calling plans is that part of the automation. It could be called campaigns. It could be something else. But basically, if I receive a customer and it goes into my CRM, is it something that I can put on a automated plan that person will get some sort of communication from me regardless of if I do anything or not? Will it let me help me nurture a lead that maybe they were curious about my product, but they weren't ready to buy, but I've got them on a campaign? This kind of goes back to that comment about having these other email programs. People use things like AWeber for this, Constant Contact, MailChimp, to do these sort of things. I do think that it would be great if you could do that just inside the CRM, more specifically for things that maybe aren't just sales oriented. So if you have a real estate business and there's different processes involved. So there's the sort of customer acquisition phase where, you know, a customer is interested in your business and you're trying to convince them that you're great at it, and then they decide to use you. So that's the first part. But then there's this other part of that, of the transaction, which is closing the transaction, writing the contract, negotiating it, and getting to closing. And, you know, does the tool support both sides of that function? So some businesses in insurance, you know, you might have a very truncated phase where that person is actually already in the office and now they're getting ready to close. You know, you might not have as many steps involved, but this is where these plans are really important, because in, like I said, real estate in particular, there's a set of things that needs to happen every single transaction with paperwork. And having a plan in place to where you could set that plan and either you do it or an assistant does it, then that's great. The other thing that you want to look at is the communication between team members and on the CRM. Can you, as an admin, see everything? Can you set permissions? Those sort of things. Pretty important right now, especially as privacy is such a big issue. How many people are going to have access to that? Especially if you have third party, if you're allowing third parties to have access to your CRM for whatever reason. In real estate, it's pretty common to bring, say, a lender in to your CRM to see the notes that you've had with a client so they can help them better serve the client. All right, so there's a real purpose behind it. So you just want to look at those things. But again, I go back to speed being the number one thing, and then really probably functionality, even more so than price. I realize price is a big driver of this, but you can get a really good CRM under $100 to get you started, and then they go, you know, much more expensive behind that. If you're hearing this for the very first time and you're thinking, wow, this is a lot to think about for a CRM, then, you know, look for industry-specific CRMs. So if you're an accountant CRM, there are a ton of CRMs out there, and so you can look around for your specific business type and see if there's something that was built specifically for your business. Like I said, real estate, there's hundreds of them. It's literally, I think, I know that we went, when we decided on different CRMs, we probably went through 30 different demos. And sometimes there's products that have a CRM built in. So Infusionsoft is really known for, you know, automation and, you know, sort of the email, sort of smart behavioral automation sort of stuff. But, you know, you could use it as a CRM. There's tools out there that sell leads to you that you could use as a CRM. And as a general rule, I like those tools because they're built together. What I don't like is it ties you like an anchor to these tools because you love their CRM. In fact, recently there was a Keller Williams conference where there was a lot of talk about that, to where maybe there's a company that doesn't have your best interest at heart that's offering you a product that helps your business and the CRM, but what they want to do is be able to see what you're doing. A good example of this in a non-real estate setting is Unroll.me. Unroll.me is this great little tool that you put in your email, you give it access to your email, and it helps you get rid of all of the junk mail that you get. The downside is that they see all of your email. You gave them permission to read every email, and if you Google this, you'll find out that Unroll actually sold this information to Uber, for instance, to see what kind of communications were going on in your email about Lyft. So in any case, so be very careful with trusting or putting all of your eggs sort of in that one basket. If it was me and there's this just really great tool that I couldn't live without and I wanted to be on that platform, at the very least, I would make sure that once a month or once a week, I'd be backing up my database to something else. So should I decide to leave that platform or something happens to where that platform decides to become aggressively, sort of against me, then I can pull the plug and I've got a backup at the very least of my content, my clients. So, but look for industry specific things. The other thing to look for is simplicity. How simple is it to get things done? Now, sometimes this, like in the case of Fallout Boss, I was, you know, sort of underwhelmed with how simple it was because the features weren't really there. But then I grew to really appreciate it because when I started to train sales associates on how to use it, the simplicity really shown. I can actually train someone to use that in less than half a day and they're going to be proficient at it. Whereas another CRM that we were using took me about a week to train them because it had a lot of features. The features were great, but I didn't really need them. Another one that you're looking for is reporting. So some of the best CRMs on the planet not only help you, you know, sort of cultivate, nurture leads, and that helps you do multiple features in your business, but they also report. Particularly, I like that sort of visualization of a funnel or stages, if you will, like almost like a steps on a game board as you start and get to the finish line. And so a really good CRM can show you the back end, you know, how your agents, how your salespeople are doing, how your team members are doing from getting something done, you know, from start to finish. And so sometimes that takes a little bit more robust CRM. I haven't seen it executed really well. One of the best examples of this is not really a CRM. It's called something called Pitchbox, and it's actually used to help generate leads, generate links, and outreach for digital marketing businesses. But they have an amazing tool that shows you how people, it literally helps you see how many people are each person contacting, how many conversions are they getting, all the way down to sort of the closings, if you will. So, you know, you want something that can help you really get a handle on your business, because that's ultimately one of the best parts of a CRM, is to say, okay, I've got 100 new leads, I've got 50 leads that are in, that are pending, and I've got, you know, 20 leads I closed last month, whatever. But you want to be able to see that so you can actually see the production of your team. And it sure does beat having to do a spreadsheet or have yet another tool where you're having to import information. So if a CRM does that, it's pretty amazing. So big thing is, for you though, the only CRM that's really good, you might have heard the saying, is the one that you use. And the only way to know that you use it is to take that list I told you at the beginning and sort of work through your workflow. And this is probably the most time-intensive thing of selecting a good CRM, is actually going through the workflow and understanding, because you've got two things going on. You've got how you run your business, and then you've got how the developer thought you should run their software, and how they envisioned you running it. And knowing both of those things can a lot of times help you. But a lot of times what I see business owners doing is they don't even know how they run their own business, let alone the software. So it's important to know that if the software doesn't match your needs, you need to move on, because the developer isn't going to change their software just to meet your needs, right? Unless they see a huge opportunity there. So you want to test your workflow. You want to see, is there ways that you could do it? Ideally, if you're the tester, if you're the CTO or you're the technology person, and it's your job to find the CRM, ideally you'd get an administrator or something with you to test it out, because they're going to be the ones that are using it the most. So that's another tip there. So, but the only way to test it out is to walk through each one of those scenarios that we talked about, that we asked you to sort of, you know, go through your business and list all the tasks. This is a great exercise. If you got nothing out of this episode for how to select a good CRM, that's the best part of it all. If you do that one exercise, it'll actually help your business, because you'll know what tasks you can do, also things that you might be able to delegate, or there might be some tools that maybe you already use a CRM and you're not willing to commit. Like I have an insurance friend that has a database that their parent company gives them, pretty much restricts them to using. So he wouldn't get a full-on CRM. What he would get is tools to help those tasks that we mentioned. So if he wants to do a newsletter, he just would set up use a tool that's specific for that. So if you have any questions about this, I know that a 30-minute podcast is not going to be the best way to solve your CRM issues, but I wanted to cover it because we just had a client where we were sending leads to, and he had nowhere to put the leads, no way to follow up with them or anything. And when I started talking about CRM, his eyes glazed over, and I said, all right, so this is where you put your clients, this is where your business is, and it makes the business sellable. And that's, to me, the takeaway, and his eyes lit up. You mean I can create a business where I can sell it? Yes. The only reason why a person would buy another person's business outside of the upside potential of these tech companies, and even then, it's all about the number of users as far as a tech company is concerned, and it's all about your customers already. How loyal are they? How easy is it to get them to come back? And so, like, if you are an accountant, for instance, how many times does this person continue to come back to you year after year after year after year? And is this something that if I was going to buy it, would they continue to buy from me? If I'm going to buy your business, you know, you've got two things in a business that when you sell it, you may have the location if you own the building, but if not, then all you have is your database, right? Because you can sell me systems all day long, but if you can't help me generate income, then what is the value there, right? It doesn't matter if you did $2 million last year, if you can't give me a mechanism to generate at least the same when I buy the business, then it's not as valuable to me. So that's the whole point of this, is that, I mean, you're not doing a CRM just so that you can sell the business, but that keeps you in the end game part of this in mind. So like I said, feel free to email me at joshua@fordmarketing.com. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to help you. Again, I got into this business to help people grow. That's the only point of this podcast. If you guys have a special request, you want me to cover a special lead generation tactic or spend an episode on something else, would love to cover it for you guys. And so if you like this podcast at all, the best reward outside of your business is to go to iTunes and leave me a review or send me an email message at joshua@fordmarketing.com. I love reading it. Even if it's negative and it's a critique, I will take it to heart. And just really appreciate you guys. And so catch us next week. We've got some interviews lined up, as well as some cool lead generation tactics. I'm going to be talking about automation in the next, say, 4 or 5 episodes. That's why this CRM episode is so important, because if you have a CRM, then we can start talking about, you know, the number of different ways that you can automate tasks. And I really think that you need to embrace automation this year in your business so that you can stay ahead of the technology curve. And it's really going to make a big difference. So thanks so much for listening, and make it a great day. And check us out at fordmarketing.com. That's number 4, rdmarketing.com.